بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one of the attributes and qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we may have heard it before, is that he was called an-nabiyul ummi, the unlettered nabi. In other words, he was unable to read, he was unable to write. And this particular attribute we find generally amongst people is not something to be praised. It's generally an attribute, a quality which is looked down upon. So here in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this particular quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also tells us the wisdom and the reason behind making Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam al-ummi, unlettered. So here Allah says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ, that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the revelation of Quran, you were unable to read any book. And even when it comes to the revelation of Quran as well, the riwayat have mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come down with the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal. And as he would recite them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his eagerness to preserve and to remember these verses, he would begin to recite after Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And at times, before Jibreel alayhi salam would complete the revelation, Nabi alayhi salam would already commence his recitation. So Allah then says to him, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَيُّقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ, that do not hasten in reading the Qur'an before the wahi is complete. Rather, allow Jibreel to continue to complete his revelation. And if you are concerned, you are worried about remembering it, that you may forget it, then وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, make this dua, say, O my Rabb, increase me in knowledge, grant me a strong memory, a strong mind. Of course, it was the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam would not have forgotten Quran. But this was a human worry, concern, that I must not forget it because I can't read it after that. So this was in the initial stages of the revelation of Quran. Thereafter, after this verse came down, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would allow the revelation to continue and Allah would preserve that within his mind and his heart. But he was still unable to recite it from any page or anything that it was written upon. He would command Sahaba radiallahu anhum that now take this verse and write it down. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would recite the Quran from memory. So, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ, nor could you write. So Allah speaks about this aspect also. Even we find towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when letters would be sent to foreign kings, foreign ministers, as is the norm, then this would be done by a scribe. So Nabi alayhi salam had amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum certain individuals who would be commanded to write the letters. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then place his seal or his stamp upon the letter so that that king knows who it comes from. But he would not write the letter himself. So Allah speaks about these two aspects, that you are unable to read, you are unable to write. And then he mentions the wisdom, the reason behind it, إِذَلْ لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ, that had we made you fluent in reading and writing, then those who wished to nullify the Qur'an, those who wanted to reject and deny the Qur'an, they would have found one more reason, one more objection. And we find the Quraysh of Makkah would make this objection, that perhaps Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in the dead of night, and he goes to some storyteller, and there he reads the fables of the nations of the past. And then he comes in the morning and he says to us that an angel came and revealed it to him. So if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could read and could write, then this objection would have perhaps had some basis. But because Allah made him ummi, made him unlettered, we find there's absolutely no doubt that what he is telling the people and what he is giving to the people is definitely revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could not have got it from any other source. So this was the reason for him being an-nabiyul ummi. Together with this, ulama explained that in today's time we find a great amount of emphasis on education. And of course in our deen as well, we find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has spoken about talabul ilm, that a person must seek knowledge. But what knowledge is spoken about? So here we understand that a person's status, a person's worth in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent on the level of his education, how intelligent he is, or how many degrees he has. If that was the case, Nabi alayhi salam would not have been ummi, would not have been unlettered. He would have been the most fluent as far as speech, or rather, as far as reading and writing was concerned. But here Allah is teaching us a lesson that your worth, your value, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not based on your education, it's based on your iman. Your iman, your amal, your taqwa, this is what will give a person value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, a few verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what is that knowledge which is regarded as true knowledge in the court of Allah. So Allah speaks about the mushrikeen of Makkah, and At the end of the first verse, Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That these are people, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, who have absolutely no knowledge. So this is the first portion. And thereafter, immediately after that, Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They do have knowledge. So first Allah says, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They have no knowledge. They don't know anything. And then He says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They have knowledge of the apparent, the outer systems of this world. So this is an apparent contradiction. At first you are saying no knowledge, then we are saying they have knowledge. So Mufassirin have explained that the knowledge that these people possess was ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, the apparent, the outer knowledge of dunya, the systems of dunya and how it works. This is not even fit to be called knowledge. In the court of Allah, this is not knowledge that is beneficial or knowledge that is worthy of anything. So that is why Allah says, it's as though لا يعلمون, as though they have absolutely no knowledge. But what do they know? يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا. They know the apparent systems of this world. وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. But the true knowledge, that knowledge which is maqsood, which is matloob by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of آخرت هم غافلون. This they are unaware of. They don't have knowledge of the آخرت. So here also ulama have explained that insan has become or has gone to the depths of knowledge of dunya. When it comes to how this world works, we know all the shortcuts, all the loopholes, how to make money, how to save money. A person knows if I use this card or I use that card, so many points I'll get. And if I shop at this place, I'll get it cheaper. Just one example, when it comes to a simple thing like a person's SIM card also. A person knows I'll use this SIM card for calls, I'll use that SIM card to phone that number. So we have gone right into the finest details when it comes to the apparent systems of dunya. But ask ourselves, do we know and understand the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one is the system of dunya. The businessman understands that I'll wake up that morning where I wake up early and I open the shop a little bit earlier. The goods are stocked up and I've done my advertising for the day as well. I've got all the staff are there and the customers are coming in. That is the day when I'll make the most amount of profits. He understands this. This is the system of dunya. And this is also necessary. We have to know this. We have to learn this to fulfill our necessities in this world. But what is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does the person understand that morning when I woke up and came to the masjid for Fajr Salah, I was in the first saf, I got my takbir ula, I read my Fajr with the Imam, with Jamaat, and then I read Surah Yasin, I started my day with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I went to work, I didn't deceive anybody, I didn't do anybody down, I didn't lie and cheat when it came to my goods. That's the day when Allah will give me the most profit, the most amount of barakah. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later Allah alludes to this also. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبَلْ لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Allah says that money which you give as interest, or you give a loan which is based on interest, you are now going to receive more than what you gave. لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ. Your intention when you give this loan is that I'm going to receive more than what I gave. Then فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Although the outer system of dunya is you gave 100 rand, you got 120 back. But عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, in the court of Allah, there is no increase. This doesn't actually increase your wealth. On the other hand, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ. That zakat or charity which you give, تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, and your intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make Allah happy, then تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Those are the ones who are actually multiplying their wealth. They are making their wealth of benefit, of worth to them. So again, outwardly, dunya will tell us that a person is receiving interest, his wealth is increasing, he's going to have more, he'll be able to use more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَا يَرْبُو. My hidden system, my system that I keep running in this world, is something different altogether. For this, we have to go back to Quran and to Sunnah. This is the ilm, this is the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get. And this is the knowledge which will make a person worthy in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then towards the end of Surah Luqman, Allah mentions five different things which are confined to His knowledge alone. So because we are speaking about ilm and knowledge, so five different things which are confined to Allah's knowledge, no insan, no human being can ever come to know the secret of this. So the first Allah mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. That the knowledge of Qiyamah, when will Qiyamah take place, this is restricted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else knows it. Yes, there may be signs and there may be indications. A person can roughly estimate. But insan till now, with all of his forecasting tools, he will never be able to tell when will the day of Qiyamah come. It will come baghtatan suddenly, when a person doesn't realize, doesn't expect it. So this is confined, restricted to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then secondly, Allah mentions, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Allah is the one who sends down rain. In other words, when it comes to rainfall also, this is kept to the knowledge of Allah. Now here the objection will be that we find the weather forecast, and sometimes 2 weeks in advance, they can tell us when it's going to rain, and how many millimeters of rainfall will fall, in which areas it will fall, what time of the day it will start, when it will stop. So how is Allah saying that only Allah knows with regard to rainfall? So here Mufassirin have explained that even if they can forecast and say that tomorrow it will rain, the next day it will be sunny. Firstly, we know how accurate is it. Many a times a person plans his entire day or his entire weekend and the forecast is completely wrong. But even if it was accurate, can they tell us whether that rain will be beneficial or harmful? That it might be light rain, it might be heavy rain, but will it cause havoc, will it cause flooding, or will that rain come and nourish the crops, will it cause the crops to grow? So this nobody can tell. That's again is confined to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ Allah knows what is within the wombs of the woman. Again, scans can tell us what gender the child will be months before the child is born. And now they have very advanced scans. A person can go for a 4D scan. We leave alone the gender of the child, but you can see the facial features of the child. Months before the child is born, the mother and father can identify that this child got the cheekbones are like the mother, the eyes are like the father. So the facial features can be seen also. But again, who can tell us what will be the taqdeer of that child? Will the child grow up to be an obedient child, coolness of the parents' eyes? What is the sustenance the child will earn? Where will the child go in his life in this world? Who he'll get married to? How many children he will have? Again, this is only kept in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَّاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى Allah says, no person, no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. Like we had seen before COVID, how many businesses would have forecast that for the first quarter of 2020, these are the profits we'll make. And we'll expand, we'll open another store in this area, we'll employ so many people, or we'll introduce this new line in our business. So they had all of these plans and all of these forecasts in mind. And then Allah sent one virus, and where that business had expected to make profits, now they were filing for bankruptcy. That we had thought we'll employ so many people, now we have to retrench so many. And we can't even pay the bills or the rent for the stores that we have. So, مَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى Insan can plan how much he wants, but he doesn't know what Allah has kept in store for him tomorrow. And finally, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ No soul knows where it will leave this world. Where you will pass away, where your mouth is written, this again is kept only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently there was one incident, there was a young girl from the Durban area who was disabled, crippled. She could barely walk from her room to the kitchen in her house. And she had perhaps never left the greater Durban area. It was difficult for her to even travel in the car from Durban to Joburg. And she probably thought to herself, and people would have thought her entire life will come out here, and she won't see any other, leave alone any other country, any other province also. But her parents made himmat, made effort, and they took her for Umrah. She goes to Makkah Mukarramah, performs Umrah in the wheelchair. She comes to Madinah Munawwara. Malakul Maut comes and her soul comes out in Madinah Munawwara, burial in Baqi. So, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ No person knows where his mouth will come, where it's written for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ Allah says, Allah is alim. Allah is all knowledgeable. Allah is all informed. What is the purpose? Allah is telling us about his ilm, his knowledge, that you don't know and I know. What is the maqsood? What is the purpose? Ulama have explained, Allah is telling us, understand that I know you and I know about you. I know your deepest, darkest secrets. I know the skeletons in your closet. Therefore, don't try and hide from me. My ilm is tam, my ilm is complete, my ilm is perfect. Your ilm is not complete. When I give you a command, I know what is best for you. When I tell you to stay away from something, I know why I'm telling you to do this. So insan just has to submit. وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتَ The other verse we heard the other night, place your trust upon that being who is ever living. He doesn't pass away. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نُومُ Sleep doesn't come to him, slumber doesn't come to him. He knows every condition of yours, he knows what is your future also. So place your trust upon him and then see how he opens things up for you. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alaykum.